She watched him for a few moments, then Aunt Jane told Matt she'd get some tea ready and see him at home soon. He nodded, only half aware of what she had said. He had found Henri Savelle, a mention, no more, a name on a list, but he was there all right. But that was where it seemed to end. There was no other mention of Savelle, no mention of a treasure. Even the siege, Matt was disappointed to learn, wasn't quite what he had expected. Yes, there had only been those 592 knights, but they had had the help of a few thousand locals defending their island. And while the Ottoman force was indeed over 30,000 strong, that was less than half the number the Sultan had sent to take Rhodes. The Knights Hospitallers were in the twilight of their time, even though, Matt knew from his internet reading, they remained in charge on Malta for another 200 years and more. They had fought off the attack, kept the enemy at bay until reinforcements arrived from Sicily, but their days were numbered. And reading the tired, almost clinical account of events, Matt sensed that they had themselves known that. A shadow fell across the page he was reading. A hand closed on Matt's shoulder. He gave a cry of surprise and jumped out of his chair, twisting and turning sharply to throw off the sudden grip. "Hey, you're jumpy," Robin said. She held her hands up as if in surrender. "I just came to see how you're getting on." "Sorry." Matt sat down again, and Robin pulled up a chair to sit beside him at the table. The candlelight flickered on her face and danced in her deep blue eyes. "Any luck?" "A mention of Savelle. Nothing much else, though."
"Don't worry," she said. "We'll find it. And your father."
She put her hand on his shoulder, then pulled it quickly away again.
"Sorry."
Matt smiled. His heart was still racing.
"That's okay. You startled me before. Like you said, I'm a bit jumpy."
"Because of your dad?"
"Yeah, and because..."
Should he tell her?
"Because of something that happened when I went home to Dad's house."
"Oh?
Probably nothing, just imagination."
"Tell me." He was afraid she'd laugh at him. But she sounded sincere, and Matt was feeling more and more that he could trust the girl. Weird, yes, but friendly and helping him find Dad. Her deep eyes seemed to draw him in still further, so he told her. "I went into Dad's study when I first got to the house. I heard him in there. At least, I think I thought I did. I don't remember much. I must have fallen, slipped and banged my head or fainted. And maybe it was a dream."
"What?"
"I thought someone had been there, going through Dad's stuff."
"Who was it? Did you recognize them?"
He shook his head. "I didn't see anyone. Well, just a vague figure out the back. Watching the house, I thought. I can't be sure." He shuddered as he remembered. "But someone hit me or smothered me, put their hand over my mouth. That's why I was jumpy." She put her hand on his shoulder again, and this time she kept it there.
"I'm not surprised."
"It was a rough hand. Not really like a hand at all, the texture, I mean. Gritty and sharp." As he spoke, Matt was staring at the candle flames, three tiny yellow shapes dancing and flickering. They seemed to be leaning towards him, as if anxious to hear what he was saying or to see what he had been reading. The shadows lengthened across the pages of the book as the flames moved. "It felt like sandpaper," Matt said. He heard Robin gasp, felt her hand whipped away from his shoulder. With a sudden movement, she stood up, leaned forward, and blew out the candles. Thin trails of black smoke curled up from the dead wicks. Her voice was a fearful, trembling whisper.
"You shouldn't have lit the candles," she said.